Welcome to Ales and Strange Tales Season 2. We are your hosts,
Chris Moyers
and Dan Stickney. Here we crack open a beer or two and share our listeners' tales and experiences of the supernatural, paranormal, and just plain strange.
Plus, we'll feature local folklore, interviews, and our own stories and adventures. So sit back, pour yourself a drink, and dive into the strange with us. Welcome back to Ales and Strange Tales, episode...
Eight?
Nine.
Is it nine already?
Yeah, we got eight recorded. I just gotta fucking edit it.
And yeah. Shit, we got one more?
One more for the season.
Fuck.
And hopefully we got a big surprise for the last episode of the season. We're still waiting on confirmation.
There might be a delay, but hopefully we'll get it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get it. If not, we're gonna attack them and make them do it next season. Because there will be a season three, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
We got so many hits on these, we got to keep going.
All right. So, all you listeners out there, I know you love our show, right?
You got to love it. Do we ever have a comment section that people can comment on? I still don't even remember if we did.
You can comment anywhere on like Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I think
can
you know.
They?
I'm pretty sure.
Have they done it yet?
No, but we never tell them to either. So maybe
comment
we should.
On this one.
Because when you do comment, it helps us out a lot.
At least we'll know where you guys are coming from, what we should be doing, what we should be doing better, what we are doing good.
Oh, rate and review is what they call it.
That too, yeah.
Rate us, big time.
Rate some shit.
5 stars, preferably, even if you don't like it.
Just fucking do it. We're doing this shit for free. That should equal a 5-star no matter what.
Yeah, right?
Well, today I am going to cover some more local folklore, the Enfield Horror.
Ooh.
And it takes place in Southern Illinois.
Oh, good old Southern.
Lots of cool shit in Southern Illinois. A lot of really terrible shit, too.
Wasn't that the last story, one of the last ones you did in the caves and shit, the pirates?
That was Southern Illinois, too, I believe. What the fuck did I do last week?
I don't know, man.
I did another cryptid.
Oh, it was Mothman.
Mothman. We're supposed to be doing local folklore, but... Fuck it. Yeah,
we're
like
supposed to be doing investigations and everything else, too. But
yeah, I'm still working on that. Still going to happen. I guess season 3 will be a magical time for
that. That'll be it.
What are you doing, Dan?
Well, I got part 2 of Matt's crazy, strange stories.
That's right. It gets fucking wild now, doesn't it?
It gets a little more wild now, yeah, for sure.
I haven't heard this part of the story, so I'm pretty excited.
It gets pretty wild.
Oh, shit, beers. Dan, what did you bring today?
Today, I got one of my favorites. Dude, I haven't had this beer in like 4 or 5 years. Pig Mind's Death Grip.
Ooh.
It is, well, semi-local. What the hell is it?
It's near Park?
McChesney. McChesney? I want to say McChesney.
Something like that.
Could be McChesney. It's near Rockford. Me and the missus went up to Rockford and actually been to this
to the brewery.
We went to the Japanese Garden. And if you ever want an awesome trip in Illinois, in Rockford, the garden is awesome.
I was going to ask you, did you get food in Rockford? Because I hear Rockford has some killer fucking pizza.
Didn't get food in Rockford, but I got food... at this brewery, which is a vegan or vegetarian brewery.
Oh, so it sucked.
Yeah. No, actually, it was actually pretty good. Like, I'm not a vegan or vegetarian or anything, but I was like, hey, fuck it. I'll try it. I believe I had a fake pulled pork sandwich. I don't know what it was made of. But it had some awesome barbecue sauce, and really, dude, it tasted good. I'd eat it again.
I'd fucking try it if I was there, especially after a couple dozen beers and
it really ain't bad. Oh, and it's a West Coast IPA, 6.8, and they don't make it all the time. So that's why I saw it at the liquor store, and I'm like, oh, I gotta grab that, because it's really good.
Hey, it looks like a cool can.
Yeah. Little pig, Reaper. Pig, it's a reaper with a pig face. He's holding the big old hop thing.
Pig Reaper, yeah, that looks cool.
It's pretty good. Pretty cool.
Well, I got the same thing I had a couple weeks ago. Fucking Space Castle. It's good. It's Three Floyds. I was just looking at the Three Floyds logo. Looks like a toy company logo, don't
Whoa,
it?
Whoa, I never
Did
seen
they change
that
it or something?
Yeah.
It looks like they make car models or some
it does.
Shit.
It looks like a good like a motto logo. Yeah, car model.
Oh, it's good. I already explained it. It's 5.6 Pilsner. Very cool can.
It is a cool
some
ice
alien
can.
Insect monster fucking thing. It's really good.
Pretty good.
Anyway, would you like to start?
I guess I'll start.
Go ahead. Whenever you are ready.
All right. Back to Matt's Strange Tales.
Good old Matt Strange Tales.
He says, okay, round two. About 18 months after the crystal sphere encounter across the street from my house, I was laying in bed, awake with my blankets at my waist and my hands behind my head. I look over at my clock. It's exactly 12 a.m. I took a big sigh of boredom. There was a little light that lit up my window a little bit like a car was driving by. Just after I took that sigh of boredom, a brilliant prismatic white light filled my room. He's getting all these prismatic lights.
Yeah, I like right? that description, by the way. That's a fucking awesome word. Awesome.
It was so bright I couldn't see any of the posters on my ceiling. I wonder what kind of posters he got up there.
Very intriguing.
I gasped and I was out cold. When I came to, I was wide awake, laying down completely covered by a sheet with my arms at my sides. I remembered what had happened, and I was into UFOs and abduction stories on TV, and I thought that is what just happened to me. I mentally prepared myself for what I might see. I slowly reached up to pull whatever was covering me. It was pitch black wherever I was. I pulled the sheet covering me, and out of the corner of my eye to my right, I saw my clock. It was exactly 3 a.m.
Damn.
Yeah. Time. Loss of time. I was thankfully in my room. I had mixed feelings of terror, ecstasy, and the sense that I had definitely went somewhere. I got out of bed and went into the bathroom to check myself for anything weird. I had two sets of these under-the-skin red lines on the muscles between my neck and shoulders. Four total. Then a few years ago, I was thinking about what happened that night, replaying the small sequence of events, and it hit me. That light that kind of lit up my window wasn't a car driving by. It was them. Oh. Quote, unquote, them. Like King Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Arriving a few seconds before the blinding white light filled my room. And then he continues, I'll get into the reoccurring progressive dream teachings I've been having since I was a little kid.
Dream teachings? Yes. Really?
I'm 42 now. This is where it kind of gets a little crazy. There was a hell of a lot that happened over the years. I had my mind flooded with telepathic memories from a 6.5-7 foot tall lizard man in a blaze orange jumpsuit with a repeating hexagon pattern and silver trim.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a head that looked like a Komodo dragon. I wasn't the only person there that had their minds flooded with memories by this lizard man. There were maybe 20 others. Maybe, I guess this is where he was abducted and then ended up in this place.
Yeah, seems like it.
We all had the same thing done to each of us at the same time. This flood of memories was a series of images rushing through my mind that were filled with feelings, emotions, thoughts, ideas, positive, neutral, negative, outlooks. After this flood of memories, the lizard man projected geometric holographic images from his hands that triggered individual memories from the flood of memories that felt like a series of epiphanies.
Holy shit.
That's pretty freaking wild, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I think I even told him, like, I don't even know what to say, man. Like, all this information made instant sense. I learned the geometric science of psychic potential, how it all works. It'd be easier to explain with the pictures, but I'll do without them and give the short version. It has to do with the crystalline structure of space and the geometric structure of time interacting and creating a fictional interaction that is downstepped, and the structure of the nervous system picks it up through five senses and is interpreted as memory in a process called holographic distortion, which is how the reception psychic abilities work. Intuition, the reception part of telepathy.
Like you said, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
My mind is being blown.
The project psychic abilities work on what my teachers called holographic alteration. Projected telepathy.
Telepathy.
Why do I say telepathy? Telepathy. There is a lot more to it all. This section in my book. He has a book, by the way, but I asked him if he's got links, and he never gave me. So apparently he's got a book.
Still waiting on the info on that.
But that's the basic explanation without pictures. Remote viewing was called distant observation. Out-of-body travel is called sphere travel. There is something else it's called when you travel out of body. I can't even think of it.
I just know out-of-body. I'm sure there is another word that I've heard, but yeah, I don't know what the fuck it is.
All controlled by a clear, empty mind whenever you are not moving. Astral projection is what I was thinking.
There you go. That sounds right.
If you think you get stuck in place until your mind is clear with no thoughts, to move you had to remember what it felt like to move in any given direction. It took a very calm, clear, and empty mind to control sphere travel. Whatever you saw, you couldn't think about. You are a silent, unthinking observer. You had to wait until you get back in your body, then you could remember and think about whatever you saw whenever using sphere travel, which is basically just your soul leaving and re-entering your body.
This dude's getting out there, dude. I'm loving this.
That's it for today.
Thank you very much. And wow, man. What the fuck? What do we even do with that? I don't even know.
I don't even know. That's there is more to it. But, yeah. That's it for today.
Lots to digest, so yeah.
Lizard Man. You want to believe it, you don't want to believe it, that's fine, but it's cool to hear some crazy shit
that. Yeah, he says it's real, man, so we're reading the stories.
Right? it's blowing my mind just reading that shit.
It's a wild ride, and there's still more to come.
Yes, and thanks again, Matt. We'll continue possibly on the finale. If not, if we got our guests coming.
Yeah, we might
have
to save it.
You might have to wait for
season 3. Woo! Well, that's a good leaving point, so we leave him hanging on. And I got a lot to cover on my cryptid today, which, of course, is the Enfield Horror.
Enfield Horror.
Have you ever heard anything about this?
I swear I've heard that name. And once you start talking, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I'm sure I've seen or heard, heard podcasts about it and other things. But, yeah, reading it, it's pretty wild. And here we go. What would go on to be called the Enfield Horror first made its appearance in the small community of Enfield, Illinois, located in the southeastern corner of the state. On the evening of April 25th, 1973, 10-year-old Greg Garrett was out playing in the backyard of his rural home as his parents watched TV inside. This is back when you could go outside and play and your parents didn't give a fuck.
Right.
So, I grew up that way too.
Yeah.
The boy's parents were startled when their son purportedly suddenly burst in through the back door, crying hysterically and with a terrifying story to tell. Greg claimed that as he had been playing out in the yard, a hideous, misshapen beast had emerged from the darkness to attack him. According to the boy, the creature was an otherworldly abomination around 5 feet tall, with three legs.
Three legs?
Yeah, three short, stumpy arms tipped with taloned hands, gray skin covered with slime, and disproportionately large red eyes.
Wow.
The malicious beast had then stepped forward and actually stomped on the boy's feet, ripping his shoes with his claws in the process. Before he had retreated to his house in terror, police who arrived at the scene could find no trace of the entity the boy had described.
I don't think I've heard this, honestly. Now you're describing the beast, I haven't heard it.
When I listen to my podcast, I'm usually working, so I heard it. I don't remember any of the fucking details. A mere half an hour later, the creature would make another appearance, this time in the yard of the Garrett's neighbor, Henry McDaniel. It started when McDaniel's children claimed to hear something scratching at the outside of the house, and when he went to investigate, he too heard the odd scratching noises. McDaniel at first thought it must have been some sort of animal, perhaps a stray dog or cat, and when he went out to confront whatever it was, nothing. Wow, what a really shitty sentence. When he opened the door, what he saw was no dog. There looming over the front porch was a bizarre monstrosity which would prove to exactly match the description of what little Greg Garrett had seen just half an hour before. McDaniel would later describe it to authorities thus. It had three legs on it, a short body, two little short arms coming out of its breast area, and two pink eyes as big as flashlights. It stood 4.5 feet tall and was grayish colored. It was trying to get into the house. There's a fucking picture of it. That's a monstrosity for sure.
I gotta see this.
You see that thing? Does it have nipples on it?
What the hell? Like, I don't even know. That's weird as fuck.
Yeah. It looks like that little figure, and when they're playing chess or whatever in Star Wars in the first one, that little monster thing, it looks like that.
Huh.
All right, fearing for his life, McDaniel slammed the door shut and rushed off to retrieve a pistol he kept in the house for home defense. When he went back to open the door, the monster was still there, scratching away, and reportedly hissed at the man like a wildcat.
Damn.
McDaniel then frantically fired several shots at the beast, hitting it dead on. After which it reportedly leapt away at a frantic rate, allegedly covering 75 feet in 3 spectacular leaps before disappearing into the darkness.
Oh, damn.
The terrified man called the police, claiming to have seen a monster from outer space. Yeah, I'll fucking vouch for that. from his description.
Cops thought he's crazy.
Yeah. And then when authorities searched the area, they discovered a series of footprints that measured 4 inches across and looked like those of a dog, only with 6 toe pads, rather than the usual 4, and seeming to be of something with only 3 legs based on the layout and the fact that the footprint was smaller than the rest.
That's weird.
They also found some curious scratch marks on the outside of the house that corroborated the story of some creature trying to get in, yet despite these findings, authorities were skeptical of McDaniel's spectacular claims.
You been drinking, boy?
Yeah, man. That'd be the first thing I was thinking. Nevertheless, whatever the creature was, it came around McDaniel's house yet again in the dark early morning hours of May 6th. This time around 3 a.m.
What year was this?
72, I think it was. Okay. McDaniel was awoken by his neighbor's dog barking excitedly. When he went to go see what the commotion was about, he saw out on the railroad tracks near his home the very same monster he had seen before. The creature was described as casually lumbering along the railroad tracks, and this time McDaniel did not shoot at it, but rather stared in puzzlement as it wandered about for several minutes along the tracks before bounding away into the night.
Should have shot it.
Yeah, fuck, man. He keeps coming back, trying to get in. You gotta fucking do something. McDaniel's bizarre account soon made the rounds, and before long, word had gotten out about the Enfield horror stalking the night. Visitors began pouring in, looking to catch a glimpse of the thing, bringing a good amount of publicity that the small, quaint, rural town was not used to. It got to the point where the sheriff warned McDaniel to stop spreading his crazy stories in order to keep the rumors under wraps. Despite these threats, people continued to come to the town in droves.
It's good for the town.
Yeah, you know, they're buying food at the diners and shit, and they gotta be doing something. Although many of these visitors were merely curiosity seekers hoping to see the monster for themselves, others were more ambitious monster hunters who came armed to the teeth and dead set on actually bringing whatever the creature was down. This alarmed the locals, as the last thing they wanted in their previously peaceful, quiet community was a bunch of trigger-happy thrill seekers out in the woods with loaded guns and alcohol.
Yeah, that's not a good deal.
Some of these monster hunters further fueled the frenzy of monster rumors with bizarre sightings of their own. two hunters from Indiana by the names of Mike Mogul and Roger Tappy claimed to have seen what they described as a large gray monkey dashing through the underbrush, which had moved too quickly for them to get a good shot at. In another incident, five hunters were arrested for hunting violations and as a threat to the public safety after they opened fire in unison and what they would later claim to have been a gray hairy creature they had spotted in the woods. The hunters even claimed to have hit it, but that their bullets had no effect whatsoever. The sheriff didn't believe a word of it and considered them to be just a posse of gun-toting thrill-seekers out drinking and raising hell. And the final major sighting of the Enfield Horror was made by a group of four men searching the area, with one of them being Rick Rainbow. Awesome fucking name.
Rick Rainbow.
The news director of the radio station WWKI in Kokomo, Indiana. The group claimed that they had seen a gray, stooped-over, ape-like creature loping through the woods near an abandoned house not far from McDaniel's property. The mysterious thing was reported to have been moving at a speed far faster than a man could run and had finally disappeared into the forest. On this occasion, the strange creature was said to let out a blood-curdling wail, which Rainbow claimed to have actually recorded on tape. The string of strange events that occurred at Enfield, Illinois, was then investigated by cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, who would later write an article about the Enfield Horror in the July 1974 edition of Fate magazine entitled Swamp Slobs Invade Illinois.
Swamp Slob?
Yeah. Sounds like us when we go to New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Coleman interviewed locals, listened to the Rainbow recording, and searched through the area looking for any signs of the beast. He even went to the actual home of McDaniel to investigate, and as he was there, he claims to have actually heard the creature's peculiar wailing for himself. Coleman would later say of the bizarre experience, "I traveled to Enfield, interviewed the witnesses, looked at the siding of the house the Enfield monster had damaged, heard some strange screeching, banshee-like sounds, and walked away bewildered." Last paragraph. What in the world was the Enfield Horror? There have been many theories put forward over the years to try and come to some understanding of this bizarre story, running from the rational to the more fantastical. A popular notion is that what was seen was an escaped kangaroo.
Kangaroo?
Yeah.
The fuck?
As this could account for the creature's purported leaping prowess, as well as giving the impression of having only three legs under certain viewing conditions.
I guess so, yeah.
Could be. The problem is that a kangaroo really looks nothing like what was described, leaves different tracks than what were found, and when faced with this possibility, the main witness, McDaniel himself, flat out dismissed the possibility, stating that what he had seen wasn't no kangaroo. Nice wordage there, pal.
That ain't no kangaroo.
It was also speculated that an escaped ape would have perhaps been the culprit, yet this also does not really truly fit descriptions of the weird creature. More mundane animals theorized to have been behind the sightings include large dogs, calves, horses, bears, deer, and wildcats. Other theories have branched out into decidedly more fringe realms, including the idea that the Enfield Horror was a genetic experiment gone awry, an alien running amok, or even an actual, literal demon.
Oh, a demon.
And they also say, of course, the possibility that the Enfield Horror was never really existed at all.
Just a hoax.
But we won't get into that, because we're running out of time.
Speaking of time, though, we got to fit this one in. We did get a call.
We did get a call.
Yes, and might be familiar to some.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
You heard
right.
It too, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Well, let's play it for the audience right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Here you go.
Hello. I have a strange story about my precious. My precious was taken from me. Oh, it was gone for so long. But now I have it. Oh, I have it. Oh, hopefully, Nedo listen. They don't listen to me.
Well, that sounds very familiar, doesn't
yeah,
it, Dan?
Man, I don't like it.
We definitely got some weird fucking callers these days. What the fuck?
For real. That was a great call. It was anonymous. But
yeah, it might have been him, you know?
I think so.
He didn't die at the end of the movie, did he? Or did he fall in? I can't remember.
I can't remember. Did he fall in?
Well, obviously he didn't because he's calling us
yeah,
now, right?
Great.
Well, yeah. Thank you for that, anonymous caller. We appreciate the phone call. We do have one more segment for today. And, of course, that is... Strange News! Boy, do we have a wild one today. What do we got today? We have... Woman married a rag doll and now has a baby.
What the fuck?
As the saying goes, love knows no bounds, and this certainly applies to a woman who fell in love with a rag doll.
A rag doll.
Oh, I can't.
Not even a sex bot, but a rag
doll. Oh, rag doll. It looks like Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann with a dick, maybe?
Yeah. It looks like Raggedy Ann on a scarecrow, so that's fucking scary as shit. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. Maravani Rocha Moras.
Russian or something?
I think she is Brazilian. Oh. Has found her soulmate in the life-size doll she calls her husband. And the pair have even gone on to have a baby, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
I can't either. The 37-year-old from Brazil said her mom made her a rag doll named Marcelo after she complained about being single and having no one to dance with.
Oh, Marcelo.
What the fuck? Little did she realize it would be the love at first sight, and after a few months of dating. Maravone? I can't pronounce it. We're going to call her Maravone. She fell pregnant. They decided to tie the knot before the newborn arrived in a ceremony that was attended by 250 fucking people.
What the fuck?
Be lucky to get 20 people at my goddamn wedding. What the fuck?
250 people.
250.
Holy cow.
Unsurprisingly, the birth was a painless one, with Marovani claiming it took just 35 minutes. It was a wonderful day for me, very important, very emotional, she told NTQ, or NTK. He is a man I always wanted in my life. Married life with him is so wonderful.
Like, was it a flesh... Did she give... to a flesh bean or a stuffed...
You know, it looks just like the stuffed fucking
stuffed
thing.
Bean.
Yeah, it's like a little version of him. It was a wonderful day for me. Maravoni continued, he doesn't fight with me, he doesn't argue at all, and he just understands me.
Oh, yeah.
Marcelo is a great and faithful husband. He is such a man, and all women envy him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all men don't want a guy that talks a lot, so she got that, apparently.
I think you just said all men.
Fuck, all women, I mean... I'm still flabbergasted by this story.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
I don't even, yeah.
When my mom made Marcelo and first introduced him to me, I fell in love with him.
Oh,
it was
God.
Love at first sight. It was because I didn't have a foro dancer. I don't know what that is.
Probably some Brazilian dancer.
Yeah, I guess. Apparently your partner doesn't need to move a lot.
So.
I would go to these dances but wouldn't always find a partner. Then he entered into my life and it all made sense. The wedding was a wonderful day for me, very important, very emotional. It rained a lot, but it was still wonderful. But as is often the case, marriage isn't always so easy.
Oh,
with
God.
The doll mum of one adding, he was so great, he has so many great qualities, but only one downside is he's lazy. He doesn't work at all. But I am a warrior, and I keep it going for us. She's making ends meet, man.
What the fuck?
Morovani said that Marcelo didn't use a condom, she fell pregnant, and even gained weight as she eagerly awaited for the new arrival. On May 21st, they welcomed doll child Marcelino. Wow. Into the world following a pain-free birth.
I bet.
She explained, I didn't feel the contractions and pain.
There was
seeing
no
the
birth.
Placenta and the umbilical cord and the blood made it all real.
What the fuck?
She cut herself open or something? What the fuck?
Umbilical cord.
Yeah. He was here in 35 minutes and he is great. You want to see this little fuck? I got a picture of him. He's got a unibrow. His dad don't. What the fuck? And she is not bad looking, dude. What the fuck? Yeah, she looks like a nice, normal lady.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Very attractive. Fuck me, man. It really upsets me when people say this is fake. It makes me so angry. I am a woman of character. My father, my mother taught me to be honest, to be a good person, and not want to take advantage of anything.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd like to thank who gave us this wonderful story.
Where did you find this one from?
ladbible.com.
I was going to say the Onion, maybe, but...
Yeah. And I also like to thank Mysterious Universe for the Enfield Horror story. Appreciate that very much.
Those guys are always good.
Mysteriousuniverse.org.
You can find them on Facebook, too. I get a lot of stories
from
them.
Check them out. But, yeah, this lady is... she's happy.
Yeah, as long as you're happy, I guess that's
so,
all that matters.
You don't want to take that away from her. I hope she don't leave him outside in the rain or something.
Oh, man, that would be bad.
At least he'll scare the crows away, so that's something.
You might grow. You get a little pudgy out there.
Yeah. Well, if I saw that in the yard, it scared me the fuck away. Like, what the fuck is this?
Saw that family in the yard. What the fuck?
You leaving your husband out to rot? What's your problem, lady? Hopefully she don't leave him outside. But do you want to see her holding the baby? This is... Oh, fuck.
Okay.
This is a wild ride here. Look how happy she is. It looks like she's in the hospital.
Yeah, she's got the head fucking, I don't even know what you call it, but, yeah, literally, like...
The hairnet thing?
The hairnet thing.
She got the scrubs on, or whatever they call it for the patient?
Like, I don't even... This is probably the strangest story I think
A rocking episode, man. What the hell?
Most strangest news we've ever had.
And strange news! So that was a great segment, and are not done. We have... Our new sponsor.
A sponsor. I know it's been a while. I guess, you know, nobody's been ringing up, but...
Yeah, well, they're very interested in sponsoring us. What is it, Dan?
We got one today from the Manzier. Are you a big, burly man with a little extra on your chest? The Manzier is your solution. It's not a bra, but chest support for men. Find them at manzier.com.
Thank you very much, Manzier.
Thank you very much.
After my lunch today, I might be getting one of those. I had a 3 meat platter from the BBQ place by the house.
Yeah, dang. You better get up on there.
Yeah, so I'll be using that pretty fucking soon.
Thank you, Manzier.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, sponsor. More sponsors to come. They're just coming in. They're just trickling in slowly, but we got more coming. So next week, we may have a guest. We may not. We don't know. We play it by the edge of our seat every week.
Hopefully it's next week, and hopefully it'll be good.
And if not, we'll finish Matt's stories up, and then I'll have another little tasty treat for you.
Yeah.
But we are well over time, so thank you for tuning in. This is Chris.
And don't forget, if you have a story, Ales and Strange Tales.
We always forget.
@gmail.com.
Ales and Strange Tales @gmail.com. Dreams... Weird, strange occurrences.
Anything.
Sightings.
Anything strange.
Anything strange. We want to know about it, and we want our audience to also know about it.
Yes.
But on that note,
that's it.
That's the end of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is Chris Moyers.
Dan Stickney.
Cheers.
Cheers.